Council of University City to order at 6:30. Ms. Pum, would you please call the roll?
Okay. Councilmember Jennings?
Present.
Councilmember Carr? Absent. Councilmember Kraft? Councilmember Crow? Councilmember Glickert? Councilmember Sharp? Mayor Welsh?
Here. Thank you very much. We now move on to the approval of the agenda. Does any member of council or staff have any changes to the agenda as presented? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented? Mr. Glickert moves. Is there a second? Mr. Jennings, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We have no proclamations for tonight. We now move on to the approval of minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of March 9th, 2013, City Council regular session? Mr. Sharp moves. Is there a second? Mr. Jennings seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We now move on to appointments. Mr. Crow, you have an appointment.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to appoint Jim Stevenson to the Civil Service Board.
Thank you very much. Is there a second? Mr. Glickert seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. I would like to appoint Nicole Thomas to the Arts and Letters Commission, replacing Babette Patton. Is there a second? Mr. Jennings seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Mr. Sharp, you have an appointment?
Yes, I'd like to appoint Nancy McLean to the Park Commission.
Thank you very much. Is there a second? Mr. Glickert seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We do have a number of swearing-in scheduled for tonight. I would, however, say I received an email from Ms. Clendenin today. She has been accepted into a PhD program out of town, so she has withdrawn from this appointment to Calip, so she will not be sworn in tonight. Is Mr. James Stutz here? Mr. Stutz, if you could come up, you will be sworn in by the city clerk. Thank you very much. Joan Greco Cohen was sworn in at City Hall in the City Clerk's office. She was sworn into a position on the Library Board. We now move on to citizen participation section of our agenda. I would ask residents to please turn the microphone on when they come to the podium, turn it off when they leave. Please give your full name and address, and please limit your comments to 5 minutes. First is Ms. Linda Freed.
I'm Linda Freed. I live at 7623 Stanford Avenue, and I have a couple of points. Whenever people want to show pride in New City, they almost invariably speak about our diversity. Sadly, though our numbers do speak to a diverse population, it isn't often that we find ourselves in groups not looking like ourselves. Largely because of this, I want to refer to the Chamber of Commerce Casino Night a week ago. There were 170 attendees, And we're almost divided between whites and blacks, equal, equal. We played together, some just talked, many danced. There were good prizes and great food, and it was really fun. From south of Del Mar, there were a sum total of 5, maybe 6 attendees. And this isn't the only opportunity missed. Fair U City, which is coming up again in June, I believe. There's fun activities, great music, good mix of people, but in the past, almost no one from south of Del Mar has attended. Another opportunity, Citizen Volunteer Corps, which has been was organized last fall around a very wide variety of shared interests, which include making up a Monarch way station, reaching or supporting the unbanked and underbanked in our community, surveying, building, rebuilding boulevard trees in U City, formalizing a U City Arts District, outreach to veterans in University City, crime awareness and prevention, organizing a food day event in U City, and building more sustainable transportation in our community. Many folks of both races are involved, and more join every day. Few, though, again, from south of Del Mar. The second point I want to discuss is, and this is basically a so much for civil discourse, this comes from a U City on the Record Facebook, which was posted on March 19th. The entry to the post was something the city manager had posted about holding an informational meeting on Proposition S and P on Wednesday, March 25th at 7 p.m. at U City Public Library. Response to this from the first response on the post was from the Vice President of the University City School Board of Education, Tom Peters, who said, "Hope they hook up the lie detectors." The second one was followed, it was followed by a response from a one-time candidate for council member from Ward 2, Dennis Fuller, who said, "Sit in the front row and try to keep eye contact. He can't handle it." And continued after that by Helen Fuller, who is a part-time employee of U City and Bloom, who said, "Nope, I hope he turns into Pinocchio. That could be one amazing nose show." Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Deborah Henderson. Is that on? Okay. Deborah Henderson, 6124 Victoria Avenue. I'm here to give you a brief update on the farmers market from last year. Also, the good news to tell you that we are currently working out a renewal of the agreement with the city community development staff for this year. And it's pretty much the same, just a couple little tweaks, you know, regarding signage, you know, that we actually worked out last year. So what I have for you here are some photographs plus a copy of the agreement that's in the works, and then a little recap of the farmers market last year. It was a pretty good year, and we're looking forward to this year and building on it. We had a moderate vendor retention, and we're looking for ways to increase that through additional marketing, community outreach, things like that. And one of the things that's most exciting to me is the community partnerships that we began building with the U City High School. I employed 2 high school students that worked on Saturday mornings and have been in discussion with the counselors at the high school and they don't call it home ec anymore, but the culinary arts. And we're talking about ways to get the students more involved with the farmers market. And Chamber of Commerce has some ideas on that as well. The other people we partnered with, fire department, economic development, the library lady came and read, and Great Rivers Greenway, St. Louis University. We do a children's cooking tour. You'll see a photo of that. Great Rivers Greenway. Excuse me, I'm getting over a little cold here. What we do is also host special events. We had a local resident who's a master yoga instructor teach yoga on Saturday mornings, and there's a picture of that as well. We had a helped partner with Great Rivers Greenway, Big Shark Cycles, had a bicycle race. We can improve on those things through extra marketing, and you'll see down the road that I also made a proposal through the Economic Development Retail Sales Tax. It's a big name. For funding for that marketing and the special events. We were on the second page of the Post-Dispatch, you know, a brand new market because of the zucchini car races. So they came and took photographs. We had kids from, you know, all over U City, all ages, come and build little zucchini cars and race them. And so that's a one time you want kids to play with the produce. And when I can see, a little children eating their first carrot or their first peach at a farmer's market, that just becomes a part of their everyday life. So we're real excited to be bringing that to U City, and that U City wants that in their community. So thought I'd bring that news, and we look forward to another year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have no more requests to speak, so we have no public hearings for tonight, nothing on the consent agenda. Mr. Walker, we now move to the city manager's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of council. First item under the city manager's report is approval to grant authority to the city manager to sign and enter into a contract with TWM to perform engineering services on the design of 100 ADA-compliant curb ramps for a maximum compensation of $68,395.50. Staff is recommending approval.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Glickert, is there a second? Mr. Sharp, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much, Mr. Walker.
Second item under the city manager's report is approval to grant authority to the city manager to sign and enter into a contract with EDSI to perform engineering services on the design of 130 ADA-compliant curb ramps for a maximum compensation of $88,425. Staff is recommending approval.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Jennings, is there a second? Mr. Sharp, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much, Mr. Walker.
The third and last item under the city manager's report is the approval of a site plan review for 7401 Balson Avenue for a three-story addition to University City High School. Staff is recommending approval with the conditions noted in the staff report.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Jennings, is there a second? Ms. Carr, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Mr. Walker, before we go on, I would like to ask, just for my own information, I would appreciate seeing how the retention pond will be handled on the slope behind the library when we get to that point. Thank you very much. We now move on to unfinished business. Ms. Pum, could we have the second reading of Bill number 9256?
In ordinance amending Schedule 3, Table 3-C and Table 3-E of the Traffic Code to revise traffic regulations as provided herein.
May we have the third reading, please?
In ordinance amending Schedule 3, Table 3-C and Table 3-E of the Traffic Code to revise traffic regulations as provided herein.
Thank you very much. What's the pleasure of the council? Mr. Sharp moves. Is there a second? Mr. Glickert seconds. Is there any discussion? Here, Ms. Pum, would you please poll the council?
Councilmember Jennings? Councilmember Carr? Councilmember Kraft? Councilmember Crow? Councilmember Glickert? Councilmember Sharp? Mayor Welsh?
Aye, thank you very much. We now move on to Bill number 9257. Ms. Pum, may we have the second reading, please?
An ordinance amending Schedule 7, Table 7-A, Stop Intersections, Chapter 300 Traffic Code of the University City Municipal Code to revise traffic regulations as provided herein.
May we have the third reading, please?
An ordinance amending Schedule 7, Table 7-A, Stop Intersections, Chapter 300, Traffic Code of the University City Municipal Code to revise traffic regulations as provided herein.
What's the pleasure of the council? Mr. Jennings moves adoption. Is there a second? Ms. Carr seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Pum, would you please poll the council?
Councilmember Carr? Councilmember Kraft? Councilmember Crowe? Councilmember Glickert? Councilmember Sharp? Councilmember Jennings? Mayor Welsh?
Aye, thank you very much. Moving on, we have no new business for this evening. We now move on to the second portion of the citizen participation segment. Ms. Terry Grisenko. Tracy Grisenko.
Hi, Tracy Gritsinko, 737 Oak Brook Lane. I wanted to announce that there will be a school board forum for the candidates on Sunday, March the 29th at 2 p.m. at the McNair Building on Groby Road. And I also wanted to let everyone know here that if they had any questions, I'm also running for school board. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bart Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm here speaking on behalf of myself. I live at 714.
Can you please identify?
I live at 714 Harvard Avenue here in University City, and I'm also speaking on behalf of a group of concerned residents in University Heights as a new board member, and also a group that I've been working with in regards to the Delmar Harvard development. I've been a resident for 13 years, and back in October, I became aware of the development taking place in University Heights neighborhood at the former Delmar Harvard site through a fellow resident who asked if I had heard anything about the apartments going up next to my house. Since I hadn't, I began asking neighbors if they had heard anything, and I couldn't find anyone who had. After seeing some preliminary drawings, a few of us went to the Planning Commission meeting back on October 22nd to voice our concerns with the size and scale of the development. Since the city never came to those of us who live closest to the development seeking feedback on the proposal, we decided to meet to find ways to help influence the project so that it wouldn't have a negative impact on our neighborhood. We had issues not with not only the size and scale of the project, but also the increased traffic, noise and light pollution, safety concerns, and many other issues as well. We went to our next neighborhood association meeting and were asked by the board to research exactly where the developer was in the project and what we might be able to do to limit its impact on our neighborhood and not regret doing nothing. We began meeting as an ad hoc committee and began to first look into ensuring the development was architecturally consistent with our neighborhood and the historic civic plaza in which it sits. Second, that the legal issues that might arise with our indenture and any city codes that govern the area. And third, how we could reach out to other neighbors in University Heights as well as the broader University City community, since this is a community issue. Civic Plaza is such an important part of our city's history as our founder, E.G. Lewis, carefully planned what was the first and very progressive neighborhood in University City. We felt that it was important to develop a position statement that our neighborhood could come to consensus around what we could accept in the area. This is, after all, the beating heart of University City, as the Civic Plaza represents our city's core, with the area to the east containing the commercial side that is necessary to sustain a vibrant city, and the historic neighborhoods that branch out to the south, east, north, as our great subdivision does. When we developed this position statement, we tried to come up with some general ideas that we could agree that would help limit the size and scale of the project so that it adheres with our neighborhood guidelines, but also adheres to the vision of what has been laid out in the Civic Plaza and has been reinforced over the years with ordinances that govern what this area can be used for. At our neighborhood's annual meeting this past February, we presented our position statement to all households in attendance. We had already canvassed the neighborhood and took an informal poll of 125 households, and roughly 80 to 90% were either mildly against or strongly against the proposed development. At the annual meeting, after much discussion, where the mayor was allowed to address concerns of residents, a vote was taken, and 72 households voted to support our position statement in opposition of the development as it currently stands, and 7 households voted against our position statement. The statement is now a part of our neighborhood association, and it was also approved unanimously by the 14 members present at our last neighborhood association board meeting to be the position of our board. So I would like to read the statement to everybody, and then I'll leave a copy for all members of council. As residents of University Heights No. 1, the oldest subdivision in University City, we are opposed to the redevelopment of Delmar Harvard School Building and adjacent property located in the historic Civic Plaza as proposed by the developer, Virtual Realty Enterprises, LLC, to University Heights No. 1 and University City residents at a meeting on December 1, 2014. We ask that the developer not move forward on this project and that members of our City Council do not allow the rezoning of the land associated with this or any other proposal unless the development adheres to the following criteria. Number one, it retains the current municipal zoning that designates the west side of the development for public activity, maintains an open space buffer between any high-density development and the adjacent residences of University Heights Subdivision No. 1, and honors guidelines on the use of property set forth in the University Heights Subdivision No. 1 indenture. Number two, it adheres to the guidelines set forth in the standards of the University City Civic Complex Historic District per Division 84-82.3, Standard No. 2 of the Historic Preservation Code.
You have 30 seconds, please.
Which states that any new building must be compatible with other buildings and structures in the district and with open spaces to which it may be visually related in terms of form, proportion, scale, configuration, arrangement of openings, rhythm of elements, architectural details, building materials, texture, color, and location on the lot. And number three, it reduces the impact on the historic nature of the Civic Plaza and the University Heights Subdivision No. 1 through renovation rather than demolition of current buildings designated as part of our city's historic Civic Plaza and by being size and scale appropriate with no more than 100 residential units.
Your time is up, sir.
If I'm speaking on behalf of a group, do I get a longer time? Or?
No, you don't, but if you hand the copies, the city clerk will make sure we all get copies.
Can I read this one last paragraph?
You may read one last paragraph.
Thank you. What we ask you as our city leaders to carefully consider what is being proposed and adhere to zoning and other ordinances already in place to ensure that the historic integrity and vitality of this area remains. We want you to know that we are not against development. In fact, we are for responsible development in this area as we realize the Delmar Harvard building cannot sit empty forever. We have included in our statement our attempt to work with the developer and the city to help ensure the development does not overtake our neighborhood's historic character and alter the Civic Plaza so drastically that it will no longer meet the needs of our city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We now move on to council reports and business. Reading the appointments, Mr. Crow has a number of appointments to the Youth Commission. I have an appointment to Arts and Letters, and now I have the appointment again to the Calip Commission. Does any member of council have a report to any board or commission to which he or she liaises? Hearing none, we now move on to council comments. Does any member of council have a comment he or she would like to make? Mr. Glicker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. To the city manager, I was in the third ward yesterday with someone close to my heart, visiting alleys, so I would like to tell you that I was very appreciative, and if you would pass that along to those that were involved in cleaning not only the alleys, but also the property where we have taken homes down and duplexes down, because that's the area that has picked up an inordinate amount of trash. It looks really good. So would you pass that along? Number two, I was in the loop on Saturday night, fortunately or unfortunately, and came out of a movie and was rather, shocked or surprised to see an inordinate number of police officers, police cars, paddy wagons, et cetera, and a group of people blocking Westgate Avenue. I thought the police handled it very well. The verbiage that was used by a number of these people that were blocking Westgate was inappropriate for anyone. In fact, I'm surprised that police had the patience to deal with that. To that end, I think that we as a city and government need to take a closer look at the means in which you are allowed to protest, which I believe in. But when you block a street, that's a safety issue. When you block the sidewalks, that's a safety issue. And you block the whole area, I am very concerned about the people who are invested in the loop, who spend their day, every day,
trying to make a living. So I think it's something that we need to do as a council and as a city to address. Thank you.
Thank you. Does any other member of council have anything? Ms. Carr?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to remind everyone that we will be holding town hall meetings, too, on the bond issue at 7 o'clock at McNair Administration Building tomorrow, the 24th. That is 8136 Groby Road. And at 7 p.m. on Thursday, March 26th, in the University City Library. If you're traveling west, as I am, you might want to consider an alternate route other than coming around here, because I got stuck in the the non-roundabout. I hope to see a lot of citizens there. I know there's a lot of talk. I'd also like to inform you that some of your University City neighbors delivered flyers to your door urging you to oppose the bond issues, and that was a monumental effort to cover the whole city, and was an effort, a grassroots effort, not one spending the tax dollars, one spending their own money, their own time, and their own effort. And it makes me proud. That's the way I started here in University City. It makes me very proud to see that spirit is still here in University City. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of council? Mr. Kraft?
I'd very briefly like to echo some of Councilmember Glickert's comments. I, too, was in the loop late on Saturday night. Some of the comments I got were from a group of very liberal public defenders who specifically mentioned to me how impressed they were with the restraint that the police showed in the loop. The police were clearly being taunted, and this was a group of people that would generally be described as civil libertarians, and their comment to me was they were very impressed with the U-City police and how they handled themselves. On another topic, if you repeat something enough, some people will believe it, even if it's not true. In a 2011 CBS News New York Times poll, 25% of Americans responded that President Barack Obama was not born in the United States. For Republicans, the number was 45%. In U-City, the issues are not peace or war or global warming. The issues are more mundane. Streets, for example. But the misinformation is just as prevalent. Now, I'm not going to try to attempt to change anybody's mind about Obama's real birthplace. But I will try to correct some of the misinformation about the bond issue. First of all, it's not a 40% increase in your property taxes. Now, I realize that there is an arithmetic trick you can play and calculate 40%. However, 40% is misleading because no one is being told 40% of what. Everyone pays their property taxes, and if you say your property taxes are going up 40%, you assume it's the whole bill. So it's complicated, and very few people will know that U-City taxes make up only 8.6% of your whole property tax bill. I didn't know that. I had to look it up, too. So the 40% is misleading, and I would suggest that it is used to intentionally mislead and confuse. The current tax rate in University City is $8.781 per $100 assessed. Prop S for streets would add 0.242, an increase of 2.76%. Prop P at 0.061 would add 0.69%. Councilmember Carr currently pays $6,328 per year in real estate taxes. A 40% increase would be $2,531. if both Prop P and Prop S pass, her taxes would go up to $204 per year. One council member is disseminating a blog information that is incorrect. I will quote and make some corrections. Quote, from 2011 to the present, the city has cut annual budget appropriations for sidewalks and street improvements, unquote. That is not true. In fact, spending on street and sidewalk maintenance has been consistent at about $1.1 million per year from 2011 through 2015. Quote, from 2011 through the present, the city has cut annual funding for parks, quote, again, end quote, excuse me, again, not true. Spending on parks and forestry maintenance has been consistent at $1.7 million per year from 2011 through 2015. Quote, together, these bond issues for $25 million is the largest property tax increase in the history of University City, end quote. Not true. The last two school bond issues were $53.6 million and $19.3 million. And for a point of reference, the UCity schools are 56% of your tax bill, and the special school district is 14.4%, while the UCity portion is 8.6% and the library is 3%. Quote, one alternative would be to undertake a series of small street and park projects and use the funds to do those projects from the capital improvement sales tax and park sales tax, unquote. Sounds good, but it won't work. $2.25 million of that CIP tax is already spent on capital improvements, not exclusively on streets, but certainly including streets. And the $1.1 million of dedicated sales tax money for parks is spent as required on parks. There is no extra money just sitting around to fund something else. Quote, there is another alternative. If general obligation bond is desirable, then we could pay for it out of those sales tax funds and not incur any increases in our property taxes. That is what was done for capital improvements such as the preservation of City Hall, unquote. Well, it's not true, though. Property taxes were raised in 2004, a 2004 bond issue, to pay for the City Hall renovation. Now look, city finances can be complicated, and some people are obviously confused. Now, my unheeded advice was that these issues be discussed for many, many months before running a bond issue. Much of this information could have been cleared up and proper answers provided. So whatever the outcome of the bond issues, questions will remain, and the discussion will continue. I mean, pass or fail, the streets still need to be fixed. So if the bonds are approved, I will listen to those who have alternative plans for funding street repairs. If we can repair the streets for less than the $20 million, for less than $20 million, we're not obligated to sell any or all of the bonds. We can just do it another way. Pass or fail, we can fix them without selling any bonds. If we can fix them without selling any bonds, that's great. Now, I'm skeptical, but I'm open for discussion. If someone can tell me how to fund $20 million of street repairs, or any amount of street repairs, I'm all ears. So let's look at the facts and come up with a solution that fixes our streets. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Crow.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I always like it when the council members from the first ward agree. And I, too, wish that there had been a discussion of the bond issue and all that occurred. Sadly, I wasn't sitting at that table for 3 to 4 months prior to it coming to council, so I didn't have an opportunity to do so. And I really won't be long in my comments at all. Actually, I'll stand by the 40% tax increase language anytime, any place, because this council only has authority over one line on your tax bill, just one. This council has asked you to vote on just one line on your tax bill, not all 13 or 14, just one. And right now, if you look at your University City Municipal Assessment and you add together the numbers that Dr. Kraft just spoke about, you will get a 40% tax increase in your University City Municipal line. We're not voting on your entire tax bill. We're voting on one line. And that one line is going up 40%. And when Dr. Kraft said this wasn't the biggest bond issue, he's correct. I want to make sure you understand, though, the comment was, is this the biggest tax increase? It wasn't, is this the biggest bond issue? Is this the biggest tax increase? And regardless, I do agree that we're going to have a conversation that's going to be concluded in just about 2 weeks. So I welcome that. I enjoyed getting out in the fresh air this weekend, as did my kids. And we were welcomed with open arms from a lot of different people in a lot of different neighborhoods. And so I appreciate that, and I look forward to a healthy conversation for the next 2 weeks. Thank you.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I always find it interesting when you have a debate, and it actually is a monologue. I again invite you to come to the town hall meetings. If I could have actually talked with Mr. Kraft and debated those points, I think you would have seen why we came to the positions that we came. When we talk about actually having discussions and debates, I too wish it had been something that took 6 months. I'm glad to hear that Dr. Kraft, who sat at the table during those discussions, wanted to have a larger participation by the community over a period of time. It did not happen. And we are dealing with what happened, not with what we wish would have happened. And if I remember correctly, Dr. Kraft said that he wanted this to go to the people, that this was the purest of democracies, that giving the people a chance to vote. And I absolutely do agree that's the case. And the people have a right to information and to weigh that information. So, again, I invite you to come tomorrow, even those from the city. I hope to see Mr. Wilson there, if he's available. And we will discuss all of those facts that Dr. Kraft debated with himself, my positions, and we'll take a look at the budget book and see, in fact, what the money has been spent on and what the policy of the city is. And I will be happy to answer any questions, and any questions that I cannot answer, perhaps Councilmember Crow can, and if we can't, I promise you, we will find the answer. Thank you.
I just have a few comments, but before I say it, I will say I, for one, am glad our city manager was able to move quickly to take advantage of this perfect storm of market conditions with interest rates at the lowest rates in 45 years, oil prices at historic lows, and with our AA-plus rating, we will get this money cheaper now if the voters decide to move forward than we ever will in the future. And I do believe that the citizens of our community deserve to have this work done, and I hope many go to the polls and agree. I will say tomorrow night is the focus group meeting at 6 p.m. at the Heeman Park Community Center. As has been mentioned, Mr. Walker will be holding the city's official informational meeting on Propositions S and P. That will be held at 7 p.m. at the University City Public Library. And at this point, I would like to ask Mr. Walker if I could ask Ms. Raganti to come to the podium. I know the staff has just been awarded, been nominated, or been advised that we are one of three cities receiving award for Make a Difference Day. I did not get any information that I found on my computer, so if you would like to come up, Ms. Raganti. Oh, I was just told we're going to wait and do that later. Thanks. I'm sorry, I wasn't advised of that. So open your ears, because you're going to be hearing some good news soon. And with that, I would like to adjourn this meeting at 7:08. Thanks a lot.